Amen. 20 years ago, a little over, I guess, we gave recommendation to Welcome Baptist Church for Brother Jarvis to be considered as their pastor, and I stand here before you again, say I stand behind my recommendation still yet. Amen. That's right. That's right. But I came under that came under one condition, though, that I would be voted in as the associate. And that took place, but I still haven't got a check, so I don't know how official that is. It keeps getting lost in the mail, they tell me. I don't know. Amen. But it's good to be here, and certainly thankful for the good Word of God that we've heard preached, and the presence of God that has been so real in this place. And He's the perfect fix. He's just right for whatever's wrong in your life, and whatever you need can be found in Him. Amen. Praise God. If you hadn't got help, you that's been here today, if you hadn't got help the last couple of days through the Word of God and the presence of the Lord, it might be that you just don't want it. I don't know. Because when He's walking in the midst, help's available. Help's available. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Psalms this evening. Psalms chapter number 18. Psalms chapter number 18. Good to see this good congregation out tonight. Good number in the house of God. Amen. Psalms chapter number 18. I'm going to ask you to stand with me again, if you would. I know you're tired. Many of you are just wore out. And worship will wear you out. I promise you that. There is a connection between worship and your physical body. Your physical body. Not, there's no connection to your flesh, but there's a connection to the physical. It will drain you, but if you get involved in good old-fashioned worship. And a lot of people don't have a clue about that. They don't worship privately. They don't worship publicly. And they frown when they see you worship. Amen. They don't have a clue. A lot of people, we heard Brother Wells preach on the hallelujahs there, Revelations. We didn't have a clue. Most people don't have a clue about spiritual worship. And I wonder, what are they going to do? What are they going to do when they get to heaven? If they get to heaven. You know, I wonder about that crowd. And I believe it, and I heard Brother Buster Mullins make this statement at our church several years ago, and he was using John chapter 4 as the proof text for that. God is a spirit, capital S, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit, little s, and in truth. And Brother Buster Mullins made this statement, and I've shared it too everywhere, that worship is the true sign that you're saved. When your human spirit has been regenerated and resurrected and responds to God's Spirit. When God's Spirit gets to moving, your spirit responds. There's a resonation, a connection between your spirit that's been made alive and been given life, breathed life, and it responds to the Holy Ghost. And I see people all the time, the Spirit of God be moving through the service, I mean thick. And they're sitting there just completely detached. Have no clue what's going on. I've seen them play peekaboo with kids with the Shekinah glory knee deep in the service. Adults. Peekaboo. And God just dripping off the lights and off the walls. Don't have a clue. Amen. What do you get excited about? I'm going to ask you two questions. What do you get excited about? And my second question is, will there be any of it in heaven? Most people are getting excited about everything that's going to be left here. What are you going to do if you get to heaven? And you'll have to settle the if. What are you going to do when you get over there and none of the things are there that's lit your fire all these years? What are you going to do when you get over there and all it is holiness? And you get over there and there's nothing but Jesus and glory and worship and a number which no man can number in perfect harmony, giving perfect praise to a perfect Savior forever and forever and forever. What are you going to do? Sit on the side of the river of life and twiddle your thumbs? Amen. Brother Wells, what was it? Why wait till then? Why wait till then? I've got heaven's life already. And I give unto them eternal life. I've got heaven's life already. Brother Steve, I already got heaven's Lamb. I've got heaven's Lord. And Brother Wells, I already know some of heaven's language. Hallelujah. Amen is heavenly language. I already got the life, I've already got the Lord, and I already know some of the language. Why not just go ahead and get with it now? You don't have to wait. Get practiced up. Amen. Hallelujah, that's right. Glory to God, amen. Yes, hallelujah. I'm feeling a little some of that, amen. Glory to God. The only thing I'm lacking, and it could happen at any second, is heaven's land. Woo! Glory. Well, praise God. If I wasn't so dignified, I'd have a spell. Amen. Psalms chapter number 18. I want to read, if I may, and you're listening tonight, I want to read one verse of Scripture, and then I'm going to reference other things, and I'm going to bring the message, Lord willing, if He'll help me, out of this one verse. And David, and we'll point this out in a moment, but David is writing about real experiences in his life. And I'm thankful that God wrote the Bible through men so that we can know the ups and the downs of real people like David. Experiences, things they were faced with, things they dealt with, the times they were defeated, times that they had victory. And we can learn from them. We can learn from them. And that's what's happening in this chapter. And Psalms 18 and verse number 29 will be our text verse for tonight. And I've prayed about it. I'm not just went through and handpicked and said, well, I believe this will fit, this will work, this will be a good Jubilee message, or I've tried, as I believe the other men of God have, tried to get God's mind on what needs to be preached. And I really do believe God wants to help some folk here tonight. And God gave me this message at a very low point in my life. Many of the songs in our songbook was birthed in heartache. Most Christians today, all they want is the sunshine and the smooth and the easy. The path of least resistance. They're looking for no opposition. That's Brother Wells, that's Brother Andy, that's where the apathy's coming from. They don't want no conflict. They don't want that. They don't want to be confrontational. They don't want to have to stand. They don't want to have a scope put upon their life. And so they're looking for the easy route. True, they'll admit something needs to be done, somebody needs to do something, but that's their term. Somebody else needs to do it. Amen. Amen. But if somebody hadn't went through a valley and a storm and a trial in their life, we would not be blessed by the songs in that hymnal. How many times we've heard men of God preach out of an experience they went through, a trial that they went through, and that what God gave them through that, they shared that and how it ministered to you and how it blessed you. Amen. So always think about this, that when you're going through a trial, a valley, a battle, God's wanting to help somebody else. Always think of this, that when you're going through a trial, God's got somebody else in mind. God's got somebody else in mind. And of course, when you're going through a trial, the devil also has somebody else in mind, because he wants you to be defeated so that you'll be a bad testimony to lost people. Amen. Well, anyway, Psalms 18 and verse 29, "For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall." Let's pray. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name that you will help me tonight. to bring forth this message, God, that You have ministered to my heart with time and again. And Lord, I don't ever want to get over it. And Lord, I praise You, dear God, for being my sufficiency. Lord, being my satisfaction, my salvation, my strength. Lord, I wouldn't be here today, Lord, if it hadn't been for the Lord who is on our side. Lord, I pray You'll flow through me a river tonight. You said in John 7, out of Your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. This spake He of the Spirit. And so I yield myself to You today. You get the glory. You use me in any way that You see fit. And dear Father, I'll be careful to say, Lord, as David said in Psalms 115 in verse 1, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. Have Your way tonight, and we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you would keep your Bibles open there, please, to Psalms chapter the number 18. Now, if you'll notice with me in the heading of this psalm, David, it shows us the background of what's taking place, if I direct your attention there. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, notice this now, the servant of the Lord. You being a servant, David being a servant of the Lord, did not exclude or exempt him from having to deal in our text verse with troops and walls. Are you listening? David is saying here, as a servant of the Lord, okay, look at it, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord, notice that, David used this psalm that deals with struggle, heartache, and I want to encourage you when you get home to read Psalms 18 and note all the personal pronouns for God. He and him and his and the, you know. And then look at all of the personal pronouns for David. I and me and my and mine. And look at what's associated with all of that. Amen. I like that. And he turns his struggles in this chapter into a song. And the Bible said, he spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hands of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And look at this. And he said, and then verse 1 comes in. And he said, what's the first thing out of his mouth? I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. What about that? Now, if I would have been writing this psalm, I would have put the troops and the walls in verse 1. I would have made sure I started out talking about my problem, amen, and what's big to me. But no, David started out where he needed to, where we need to. David said, in spite of everything, the walls, the troops, the darkness, the difficulties that's in this psalm, David said, God, I just want You to know that none of these have changed my heart toward You, that I still love You. Amen. And boy, we've heard a lot about that today. I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. Brother Steve, I noticed this today. In fact, I noticed it just a while ago. David starts out this psalm talking to the Lord. I will love Thee, O Lord. But that's as far as he got. He spent the rest of it, the entire psalm, ending in verse number 50, spent the rest of 49 verses talking about the Lord. He started out in verse 1 talking to the Lord and telling the Lord how he loved him. And the Lord was so big to him that he went from talking to him to talking about him. You know why that you don't talk much about him? You don't have verse 1 in your life. talking about Him comes out of verse 1. You get, amen, you get your love affair right with the Lord and for the Lord, you won't have no problem talking about the Lord. A lot of people say, well, I'm backwards, preacher. I'm just an introvert. I'm backwards and shy. Yeah, right. You talk about what's big to you. All we have to do is get around you a little while. What's big to you will come out. Yes, sir. You'll talk about what's big to you. But I thought that was interesting that he spent the rest of the chapter talking about the Lord. Amen. Look at verse 2. The Lord is my strength. He's still talking to him, but he's in that transition of talking about him too. He said, the Lord is my strength and my fortress and my deliverer and my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compass me. Now, he's starting now to give the problems, the things that's going on in his life. He mentions that in verse 4. He's a servant of the Lord. He said so in the heading here. He's singing to the Lord. He's speaking to the Lord. He's in an intimate relationship with the Lord. But yet he still admits in verse 4, the sorrows of death have compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men have made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compass me about. The snares of death prevented me. Look at what David said my response to that was. In my distress, verse 6, I called upon the Lord and cried unto God, unto my God. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even into His ears. And here's a big word, then. David said, I prayed. David said, I praised. David said, I told God of my passion for Him. But he says in verse number 7 here, then the earth shook. One person prays his prayer, enters the heart of God, the ears of God, and God responds. I wonder how many of us really believe that, that God responds to praying people. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations also, and the hills moved, and were shaken because He was wroth. And he goes all the way down through these verses, talking about what God has done. You'll find the terms He heard, He sent, He took, He drew, He delivered, He brought, He rewarded, He prevented, He delighted, He girded, and on the list goes. And I wrote out beside that God is active. The action of the Almighty in response to somebody praying. You know why you don't pray or pray little? Is that you really don't believe it works. Lack confidence that God, that prayer works. Amen? But I want to direct your attention into verse number 29 for what time I have left here tonight. Verse 29 says, for by thee... And I mean, there were several things I went through here and highlighted them that's worth reading in this chapter, that's worth mentioning in this chapter. For instance, verse 27 is just one of those. For thou wilt save the afflicted people. Does anybody need to hear that tonight? For thou wilt save the afflicted people. Praise God, I like that myself. In verse 29, for by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As I begin to look at this verse of Scripture, particularly in this setting of what is taking place, there are two words in this verse of Scripture that got big to me and is still big to me. And that is the word, and I want to read the verse again and emphasize these words. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. That word through and over got big to me. And I believe David is letting us know through personal experience that you can get through it. and you can get over it. There are things that's going to come in your life that you need to get through. And then there's things in your life that you need to get over. But you'll never get over until you get through. Amen. So I believe in this verse of Scripture, there is the recipe. There is the truths that David can give to us as to how to get over it and get through it. Let me just mention something about the troop and the walls, if I could, together. Troop speaks of opposition. Wall speaks of obstacles. And you're going to have to deal with opposition that comes through people. And you're going to have to deal with obstacles that comes through things. Anybody in here dealing with things? Things. Well, Romans 8:28, we all quote that to everybody else, but it's hard to look in the mirror, isn't it, and quote that verse, and that we know that all things... All what? Things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. What things are you dealing with? What people are you dealing with tonight? Truth speaks of battles. Wall speaks of barriers. You'll have those in your life, and no doubt there's some here tonight that I know about. You're dealing with walls, obstacles. You're dealing with issues in your life. Truth speaks of that which wants to hurt me. Wall speaks of that which wants to hinder me. As walls definitely are made to hinder you. Amen? How many of us here tonight are dealing with people? I've heard preachers say this. I've said it. It's kind of humorous now that I think about it, but I have said that pastoring would be much easier if it didn't involve people. But I can't tell you how many people, how many preachers are they're hanging by a thread because of hurt. I talked to one today that wept on the phone. Just wept, I mean, and wept on the phone. A man of God, and he said, "Preacher, people that that's my friends, people that I've invested time in, people that I've won their children to the Lord, people that I've baptized their children, they have turned on me, preacher." And he wept and wept and wept on the phone. I wonder how many of you, your spiritual life is in defeat mode because of an individual or a person or people. Somebody at the workplace, somebody, amen, somebody in your family, a relative, somebody at church. Oh, you fake it around them. You put on the smile. You should even shake their hand. You, amen, hey, good to see you. But in your heart, you've got resentment and you've got ill will and unforgiveness. And, amen, you'd much rather avoid them. You'd want to go out the side door instead of go anywhere near them. I wonder who in this building tonight is dealing with people problems. And I wonder in this building tonight who's dealing with things. When you think about a wall tonight, a wall does two things. It's for two purposes. A wall, Brother Steve, is for the purpose, one, of keeping things out. And Brother Chad, number two, it's for keeping things in. And so the devil will be sure to put things in your life for the purpose of keeping out what God wants in and keeping in what God wants out. I wished I could stand here before you tonight and say that after you've been saved a while, you graduate, you go past the troop, and you kind of go past the wall thing. But I don't know, somebody else have to answer, but I've been saved 34 and a half years, and I'm still having to deal with the troop issue, and I'm still having to deal with the things, the walls that's in my way. And by the way, let me say this, it's worth mentioning, the wall and the troops are not behind you. Because the devil welcomes your retreat. The devil doesn't mind for you to turn around and go backwards. The troop is in front of you. preventing progress. Amen, and advancement. But I'm interested tonight, how do you get over it? Or how do you get through it? How do you get over it? David, I'm glad you pinned this down. I'm glad that you give us some insight here. Verse number 29, I want to point out a few things and I'll be done. Number one, I want to say, first of all, if you're going to get through it and over it, number one, I see in this verse of Scripture, there you must have your direction. Maintain your direction. You say, what's the direction? There's two words in this passage that reveals to us direction. Notice this right here. For by thee I have run through a troop. And then he said, by my God have I leaped over a wall. So run and leap indicates direction. Running is a what direction? Forward. Leaping is what? Upward. If there's two directions the devil hates in your church, in your life, in your family, in your ministry, it's forward and upward. But note also the sequence. You'll never have the upward until you have the forward. In fact, you running is what gives you momentum to be able to leap. If you're not going forward, I doubt seriously you're going upward. The devil, Uncle Joe, the devil don't want you to go forward. He wants you as an individual to go backwards. Amen. The opposite of going forward. Amen. The devil wants you to go backwards. And the opposite of going upward is that he wants you to go downward. And we're living, I believe, today in the most defeated Christianity, I believe, that I've ever seen. And I'm going to be honest with you. I battle it myself. Amen. There's no halo on this head, friend. I promise you, I battle it. I battle it as much as you do. I deal with troops. Amen. That's right. I got ulcers right now. I know you can't imagine that, a pastor with ulcers. Yeah, I can put names on them too, buddy. Amen. I've had preachers to get real spiritual and say, oh, preacher, you're supposed to keep them on your heart instead of your stomach. Yeah, right. How long have you pastored? Well, I've never pastored. I'm just a deacon. But you must keep and keep. Listen now, you must. I know that's elementary, but David is saying, before I could get through the troop, I had to run. Before I could get over the wall, I had to leap. Yes, keep your direction right. Quitting prayer is not how you deal with troops and walls. Backing up on your convictions. Compromise is not the way that you deal with your troops and your walls. And how many people in church are like that? They're going backwards. And when you start going backwards, you'll start picking up things that you've laid aside on the altar in your life. Keep your direction right, going forward and upward. You say, oh, preacher, I would go forward, but there's troops in the way. I would go upward, preacher, but there's a wall in the way. If I read this verse right, Brother Rao, that's the reason he did go through. That's the reason he did run, was because there was a troop in his way. He was using the troop as a platform for going forward. He was using the wall as a reason to go upward. Not an excuse, but a reason. Brother, I was coming down, Brother Rao, I believe if my memory fails, it don't fail me on this. I was coming down I-26, and I believe I was headed to Gant Street to preach. And I was speaking with Brother Jeff Brown on the phone. And I was just driving along and we was chit-chatting and talking and all of that. And all of a sudden, he wasn't responding to me. And I looked and I'd lost signal. It was dead. Well, I just kept going on and I went on further and he calls me back. We call and we resume our conversation. He said, preacher, what happened? I said, Brother Jeff, I went through a low dead spot. And I said, Brother Jeff, though I wasn't seeing the spiritual of it yet. I said, I lost signal. And he asked me this question, and that's when I about wrecked. He said, well, what did you do? I said, I just kept going. Sometimes you go through a low place, you go through a dead spot, and you lose signal with somebody you can't see but's been talking to you, amen? And the temptation is to pull over. That's the worst thing you can do, is to pull over in a dead zone, to pull over in a low place. The best thing to do is keep the hammer down, buddy, and keep going forward. And when I topped the hill, I regained signal and was able to talk again to that one I could not see. Glory to God. Amen. I believe the songwriter had it right when he penned down the words, press on. It won't be very long. The first verse says, there is joy in my soul since Jesus took control. He placed within my heart a happy song. The joy bells sweetly ring while of His love I sing. Press on. It won't be very long. Verse 2, He fills my way with cheer. With Him I have no fear. He guides my weary steps along the way. I'm glad He promised me a mansion full and free. Press on. It won't be very long. The third verse, in heaven I am told, the streets are made of gold. Oh, what a happy place to call my home. United there we'll be. We'll shout the victory. Press on. It won't be very long. And the chorus says, press on. It won't be very long until we reach that land of song. In heaven some sweet day, I'm going there to stay. Press on. It won't be very long. Keep your direction right. Stay going, keep going forward and upward. Amen. Number two in our text verse, I note a second thing that's of importance to being able to get through and over it. And that's the word duty. Your responsibility. Where do you get that at? Listen, for by thee I have run through a troop. And by my God have I leaped over a wall. David is saying, I ran. I leaped. Don't expect God to help you get through a troop if you're not running. Don't expect God to help you get over a wall if you're not leaping. I believe most spiritual failure is a responsibility issue. People not doing what they know that they need to do. Just keep doing right. You may not know everything to do, but just keep doing what you know to do. Drive in the light that you have. Walk in the light that you have. Amen. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said years ago, I've heard it on the radio, I guess they were playing it from years gone by. He said, do right if the stars fall. Do right if the stars fall. General Patton, charging his troops, told them, and I don't use this term except as a noun when you refer to hell, you better refer to it as a place. If you talk about it as an adjective, you're cussing, period. Patton said to his troops, and that's why he was a force to be reckoned with, he said, if you walk through hell, keep walking. Hey man, I don't know what you're going through, but quitting's not the recipe. Quitting's not the option. Backing up, laying down your Bible, quit praying, quit tithing, quit giving a mission, quit going to Sunday school. How do you get through it and over it? You keep running. Maintain your responsibility. Keep leaping Keep doing what you know. You say, preacher, running's not easy to do when you know you're running toward the troop. Leaping is not easy when you're having to clear an obstacle. Are you listening? So there is the duty that I see here that is vitally important. And I believe this tonight. I believe if you'll do what you are supposed to do, God will enable you to do what you cannot do. Do what you can and God will do what you can. If you can run, God will open up the troop. If you can lead, God will let you clear the wall. God will add the supernatural to the natural. That's good right there. God will attach His supernatural to your natural. Running is natural. God will attach the supernatural to it that will enable you to run through a troop. Leaping is natural. God says, I'll just help you to clear that impossible. Amen. So there is the direction that's important. That's elementary, but it's, you know, we fail in the area of basics, don't we? Amen. So keep your direction right. And that applies to somebody here tonight, I guarantee you. Your preacher may not know it. Your friends may not know it. Your family may not know it. But in your heart, you're backing up already. You're thinking about, how can I get out of this? Say amen right there. I said to my, now I don't listen, it don't matter what you think, but I said to my wife just about a week or two ago, I said, you know what? I said, I think I'm just going to get me a job. 9 to 5, punch a clock and forget it. But I can't do that. That wasn't a spirit talking. But Fanny and I, how many more is in here? I mean, you probably wouldn't ever admit it. I mean, you're super spiritual. I want your autograph after the service. I'm just telling you, friend, there's more pressure. I've been in the ministry 34 and a half years, and there's more pressure today than I have ever seen and that I've ever felt in my life. I told my wife the other day, I said, it's relentless. I said, there's no break. I said, I go to bed with it. I get up with it. I said, it's every day of my life. It's all day, everywhere I go. There's seemingly the hounds of hell that wants to attack me. And it's not because I'm anything. But the devil would love nothing more than for these men of God right here, for you to become a has-been and a used-to-be. Yeah, the troops got them. They didn't clear the wall. It was a train wreck. It was a smash. Number three, write it down real quickly. The third thing I believe is very important in this verse of Scripture to help you get through it and over it. It's not only your direction forward and upward. Also your duty, and that is running and leaping. And let me say this quickly, and I'll move on to this third thing. I just happen to mention, think of this. Running is not accidental. Did you know if you run, you have to make the choice to run? Now walking, I don't have to, okay, right foot, left foot, right foot. You don't have to tell yourself to do that. But now when you go from walking to running, you have to tell yourself every step, keep going, keep running. Amen? And also with leaping. Leaping doesn't just happen. You make the choice to leap. And Brother Joe, not only is it a choice, but it's also a condition. A lot of people they can't handle the troops because they're in such bad shape spiritually that they can't run. Say amen right there. You don't have godly exercise. You're not exercising your faith. Amen. And you're out of shape. And amen. And you got a troop and you've got to run or you're not going to run through. It didn't say walk through. It said run through. And you're not in shape. And so when you start your running, You don't run far until you're... I'm troubled, Brother Andy. I am really troubled. I've told our church, I am very troubled about the churches that I'm seeing and the people in them today. Listen, the pressure's coming against us, as Brother Wells very clearly showed us today. Listen, it's coming against us, and I don't see too many in church that can run. I'm not talking about running away. It didn't say run away from the truth. It said run through the truth. Where's that aggressive faith at? Hey, man, where's that aggressive faith that realizes this is my problem, this is an issue in my life, this is a hindrance, this is a restriction, this is a problem in my life. Instead of running from it, run toward it. Amen. Right, the righteous are as bold as a lion. Run, leap. You know what leaping does? Leaping defies gravity. This earth, this world has a natural pull that says, you're not going up. I'm going to keep you low. I'm going to keep you on the ground. Amen. But I'm telling you that God is showing us here that a child of God can run and leap and gain elevation. Anyway, number three, there is dependence. The word dependence is in this verse. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. David was careful to give credit where it was due. David gave God the glory. David did the running. David did the leaping. But he said, God, you're the one that enabled me to go through, and you enabled me to go over. Amen, that's right. There's a dependence. And I believe this with all of my heart, that there is an all-out attack on our confidence in the Lord. The devil will chip away. Listen, we know Revelation speaks of it clearly, that he is an accuser of the brethren. Not false accuser, the accuser of the brethren. He knows better than to come before God about you and me with false accusation. Because he knows God is the omniscient God. He brings real facts to God about us. What you do, what you don't do, what you say. Amen. That's right. But I believe this too, and I know for a fact this is true. He is not just an accuser of the brethren, accusing us to God. But I believe he also accuses God to us. Yeah, if your God really loved you, he wouldn't allow that. He would have stopped that. He would have prevented that. He would have done something different on that. He wouldn't have let that happen. And he'll get you doubting God. And he'll get you, listen, questioning God. David is saying, even though I had troops, I still said, by thee have I run through a troop. Even though I had a wall in my life, I said, by my God have I leaped over a wall. Bless the Lord. Bless His holy name. There is the dependence. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't lose your faith, your belief in God. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes faith, buddy, is something you have to just say, God, I'm going to choose it. I choose. How many times, Brother Deets, have we got it with our back against the wall and the devil's trying to chip away our confidence in the Lord, and you had to come to the place where you said, God, I don't know why this happened or why that didn't happen or why you didn't stop this or why you didn't allow that and all of that. But God, I don't know the what fors and the whys and all of that, and you owe me no explanation, because the Bible never says the just shall live by explanation. And I've said it before. I said, God, here and right now, I choose to trust you. Whether I ever know the whys and the what fors and all of that, that's beside the point. That shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And I said, God, you love me enough to save me. You met my greatest need. I can trust you with my valley. I can trust you with my decision. I can trust you with my truth and with my walls. Amen. Faith taps into the resource of God. Amen. I like that. Keep believing God. David said in these verses, and I don't have time to look at them, but David is saying in these verses, he's telling the Lord, Lord, these issues in my life has not caused me to question You. I trust You. I trust You. When the troops are there, God will be there. He'll enable you to run. He'll help you run. He'll help you. He'll make a way when there's no way. Amen. When there's the walls in your life, God will be there. You can't maybe depend on people a lot of times because they may not be there when the troops are there. They may be the troops. When the walls are there, you may not can depend on people to help you over the wall and to help you deal with the wall. But I'm telling you, the God of heaven neither slumbers nor sleeps. He never needs a vacation. He never, my friend, listen, He does not ever need a break. He never is distracted from you. He can give each one of you His 100% attention and never have to pull His attention off of me. He's not in the dark about my troop issue. He's not in the dark about the walls that come in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. I bless His name for that. And then, if you'll note in this verse of Scripture, not only have we seen that a direction is necessary, and the duty is necessary, and the dependence upon God is necessary. Don't ever try to deal with your troops without going in and saying, God, help me. Lord, I believe that You'll help me. If I'll run, You'll help me. If I'll leap, You'll help me. And He will. Amen? No doubt about that. Your flesh won't help you, but your Father will. Thank God, that's right. But I noticed here in verse 29, there's a victory. There's a deliverance that I see. For by Thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. There's a victory in those words, through and over. How do you know, Brother Brad, how do you know that you've got through it? It's when it's behind you. Brother Robbie, how do you know that you're over it? When it's beneath you. Thank God, that's right. Oh, there's a victory for us. Amen. Just because there's a troop doesn't mean that it's automatic and that it's over. No, no. You can run through a troop. Troop is many. Troop is militant. Amen. They're in the way. And this was the enemy that come even from the hand of Saul. So they had ill intent. They desired literally to capture, even to kill David. David ran through them. Amen. That helps me right there. I'll tell you it does. To run through the troop. Amen. I like that. Can you imagine this? I want you to picture this with me just for a moment. Can you imagine David running through the troop? One little David running through the troop. Can you get this? Can you get this? Can you imagine the courage that was in David's heart, the confidence that was in David's heart to start running toward the troop. And I can see them as they had studied the life of David, no doubt. They knew which pathway he was on. They knew where to set the troop in progress of David. They set up the troops. And I could see them as they said, there he is. There he is. There's David right there. Everybody get ready. Everybody get ready. Here he is. Here he is. What is he doing? He's running toward us. Does he not see us? Look at his face. Oh, at the confidence that's on his face. And I can hear one of them say, you know what? I think we're fixing to have a bad day. One of them that knew about David's life, Brother Rao, one of them said, you know what? I've heard about David running toward things. I read about when he ran after the bear, and he ran after the lion, and I read where he ran toward Goliath. And every case, David came out the victor, not the victim. And I could see the troops saying, "Oh, mercy." I know there's a lot of us, and there's one of him, but there, we know the same God that helped him with the bear and the lion and Goliath may be helping him today, and if so, we're in trouble. But I could see them as they braced themselves as David approached. As he got closer and he was picking up speed. He was picking up momentum. And I mean, he had the look of confidence. He had the look of courage. He had the look of boldness on his face as he was aggressive as he ran toward them. And I could see them commissioned from the hand of Saul to capture David at any cost. Brace yourself, boys. Get ready. Everybody get ready. Here he is. We can surely, if we all band together, we can stop him. And they brace themselves as he approaches. And all of a sudden, And one of them said, "Did you see that? How did he do that? We was arm in arm. We had it. We practiced this. How did he do that? He ran through us. It's like he had an invisible fullback. Somebody came through ahead of him and broke the lines." And then I could see Brother Lee as he turns the troops turns around and says to the wall builders, "Get ready, here he comes. He already broke through us." And I could see the wall builder said, "What? He broke through the troops? How did that happen?" And they said, "Get ready, here he comes." And they seen him coming. They said, "Yeah, we'll watch this. He'll run through the troops, but he won't run through the wall. We made sure it was too high and too thick and it was too wide. And we'll watch this. Hey, man, let's just watch this." Splat. And they're watching him and they're just confident that their wall was going to be the end of him. Yeah, he can handle the troops. He can deal with people in opposition, but he can't handle this obstacle. Let's watch him, boys. Here he comes. Hey, this is going to be exciting. Oh, we've got a story to tell Saul. And all of a sudden, here he comes. Watch this, watch this, watch this. Did you see that? The Olympics have their hurdle jumpers here. God's got His wall jumpers. Hallelujah. Oh, the devil will put things in your life. He'll think, surely, this is going to stop you. This is going to be the end of you. You're not going past this point. Whoa! Thank God there's victory. There's deliverance for us. Hallelujah. Spurgeon said this. Spurgeon said Jesus was our chief example. He was, in fact, the greatest troop runner and wall jumper. Here's what he said. Jesus is the ultimate example. We should have victory because of what Christ has done. He ran through a troop when he engaged the troops of hell and broke the squadrons of demons and devils and spoiled and disarmed principalities and powers and triumphed over them on his cross and made a show of them openly when he dragged them at his chariot's wheel and led captivity captive. And he leaped over the wall of partition that restricted and hindered us from knowing God and coming into His presence. And he leaped over that wall, and he didn't just leap over that wall. He broke it down. And now we can know God, and now we have entrance, and now we have access, thank God. Oh yes, I know we can deal with our troops because Jesus has already dealt with the devil. Hallelujah. But you know what I got to thinking today? There's been a lot that's already went through this path before us. and look at the troops they ran through. These old-time men of God. Brother Hardin, where are you? That Brother Hardin right here. Stand up, Brother Hardin. Stand up right there. They call him the mule skinner. Brother Hardin, how long you been preaching?
Since 1950.
That's before my time. 55 years? 65 years. Still preaching, still faithful. Thank you, brother. I'm telling you, isn't that wonderful? Brother, have you dealt with troops before in your ministry? He's laughing. Like, are you kidding me? You can't have a 6-week ministry, much less a 65-year ministry, without dealing with people, amen, head on. But he's still here today. He's ran through troops. He's leaped over walls, obstacles. Brother Caldwell, how long have you been preaching? 60 years. Have you had to deal with people? Still dealing with people. Have you dealt with obstacles, things that tried to deter your direction? But you're still here, Brother Caldwell. And I want you to know you're a blessing to me. Thank God, Brother Ben. And Brother Ben's stand up right there, Brother Ben. You can't tell if he's standing or not. He's so short. He's 13, but he's in an 8-year-old body. But I want Brother Ben right here to not just look at me as his pastor. I want him to be able to look at Brother Caldwell. I want him to be able to look at Brother Hardin. I want him to be able to look at these men of God that's in here. Amen. And I want to tell you, Ben, these are your heroes. These are your military right here. They're in the Lord's army. And they're standing tall and they're standing firm. And we got missionaries in here that has battled and fought and sacrificed to go. Brother Robbie, God bless you, brother. You have been such an inspiration to me. I'm telling you how. Thank you. Brother, have you had to deal with troops? No doubt. Have you had to deal with things, walls in your life? But look, he's still here. He's still in the house of God. Brother Fanning, I know y'all been through it. Notice I said through it. Hallelujah. Have you dealt with troops? You've dealt with people. Starting, you've dealt with things, walls, bad doctor's reports. Look at her. Sitting right here in the house of God with a Bible, King James Bible in her lap. You know what that's saying? I done run through the troops. I know there may be more, but what I've had already, I've done run through them. There may be other things, there may be other walls, but I've already leaped over them.
Amen.
And she's sitting back there a smiling, amen. Why? Because God has helped her.
Amen.
Dr. Maccabee. Tell you, preacher, a champion in my book. I love you, brother. I'll never forget, preacher. I'll never forget the honor I had to stand and preach your 30-year anniversary. That's been several years ago. Preach, how long you been preaching?
65 years.
65 years. A war horse of the faith, buddy. Dealt with troops. Bunches. Walls. Look at him. How old are you, preacher?
I'm
85 years old. Caleb's still sitting here. Still ready. Still got his Bible. And I want to tell you what, Preacher Maccabee, I've heard him say this. He said, a man is called to preach. He said, you can wake him up in the middle of the night out of a dead sleep. Turn him around, twist, turn him around about 3 or 4 times and scream preach and he'll light into it. Amen. Amen. I've seen Brother Maccabee preach a paint off the walls, friend. And when Brother Maccabee reaches and starts grabbing his britches leg, son, it's on. Amen. When he's bent over and he's grabbing them britches legs, son, I don't know if he thinks he's grabbing the horns of the altar. If he's grabbing, my friend, the reins of that horse he's on, I don't know. But he's a shucking the corn. The point I'm making is thank God for all of the people, men and women, that's blazed the trail before us, that has run through a troop and leaped over walls. And we have today what we have because they paid the price. Because they paid the price. I had a mama. Well, actually, Brother Joe, I had a grandpa and a grandma, Chapman, that ran through troops. It was before my time, most of that. I don't know, remember much of that. But my grandpa was a God's man, buddy. Nathan Chapman. Uncle Joe. I'll stand up, Uncle Joe. Most of them know Uncle Joe. My Uncle Joe is daddy. God's man, wasn't he? My grandma's a shouter, buddy. Son. I mean, shout, buddy. Just shout the glory of God. Walk the aisles. And Brother Joe, we were talking about how many preachers you say had come out of that area?
Probably 35 to 40.
35 to 40 preachers had come out of that little area right there. God moved through that place in revival. I got saved there in 1981 on a revival, Brother Wenzel, that went 7 weeks. But point is, it was because them people beforehand, when confronted with troops, they'd say, you know what? I'm not quitting. I'm not running. I'm not a quitter. I'm not compromising. You're not finished when you're defeated. You're finished when you quit. And thank God they didn't quit. They kept running through troops and leaping over walls. One generation had died. God had raised up another generation. The one generation had passed off the scene. God had raised up another generation. Hallelujah. Amen. My mama, a godly woman, buddy. My daddy, a godly man. Instrumental, Brother Andy. My mom's instrumental in me getting saved. Amen. Miss Sarah, I want y'all to go ahead and get ready. My mom was instrumental in me getting saved. And let me say this to you. I'm done. I'll be right done right here a second. When I got saved, it may not have thrilled too many, but it sure thrilled Mom and Daddy. Because I was rebellious and full of the devil. And I would have went to hell, sure as my name's what it is, if it hadn't been for my mama getting in the trenches and saying to me, son, I didn't bring you through my womb into this world for you to die and go to hell. When I was being stupid, Mama was being spiritual. When I was being foolish, Mama was being faithful. Amen. When I was living for myself, Mama was in the throne room of grace praying for me, Uncle Joe praying for me. There's no telling that Miss Aunt Nancy and Uncle Joe how many prayers they prayed for me. And my daddy, the night I surrendered to preach, Brother Andy, my daddy come up to me, and when I was standing, I was still standing in the altar, when I announced my call to preach. And my daddy, he come up to me and he got right in my face. And he said, son, and he opened that King James Bible and he pulled out a little piece of paper where he'd been at Camp Zion, Myrtle, Mississippi. I never got to go with him. But Stevie, he went to Camp Zion, Myrtle, Mississippi, and while he was sitting in a service, God spoke to him and said, I'm going to call your son to preach. And he pulled that out, Brother Steve, and he showed it to me. And said, God's kept His word. And then he looked at me, Brother Locker, and he looked at me in my eyes. Here's what he said. Son, preach the word. If it takes the head off your shoulders, preach the word. You know what he was doing? He was telling me, son, you can deal with troops and walls. Don't ever quit. And I listen, both of them's in heaven. Both my mom and dad's in heaven. Grandma and grandpa's in heaven. A lot of my aunts and uncles in heaven. I don't know what they're doing up there. I know we sing about it and talk about it, but I just want to think maybe there's a possibility. We're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Brother Buster, I just can't help believe maybe, Brother Wells. Lord, loud mom and dad. Every once in a while, maybe Brother Robert lean over to Banister's Heaven and wave me on. Preach, son. Preach, son. Keep it up. Keep going. Some of you, I guarantee, how many's got loved ones already on the other side? Already run this race. They've already went through troops and troops and troops, and they've already cleared walls and walls and walls, and they're already on the other side. Could it be they're waving you on? Last leg of the journey. Don't quit. You can make it. You can make it. Amen. I heard a little chorus a few years back, and I'm done. Listen. I heard a chorus of black men singing. Now, of course, I can't sing it like they can. That little chorus said, "You can make it. You can make it. That trial you're going through, God's gonna show you what to do. You can make it. You can make it. I don't care what's going wrong. God won't let it last too long. You're not in this thing alone. You can make it. You've already made it." John Newton had it right. "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come." Look what you've already been through. You can make it. Thank God the grandstands of glory is waving us on. They're waving a song, and I want them to sing this song. They're waving from the other side. Go ahead. If you feel the need of coming, if you feel the need of the altar, maybe you've been tempted to quit. You've been tempted to throw in the towel. You've seen your spiritual confidence becoming weak. And you're being tempted with faltering, and you're thinking about backing up. Don't quit. Because you've got the baton in your hands. And you run your race and you'll hand that off to the next generation. But if you quit, there'll be a high price. I want them to sing. Go ahead, ladies, and sing.
Such a great cloud of witnesses.
Amen, Lord.
Who've already made it.
Already made it home.
The
Heaven, that's right.
Filled with people
we have known.
We have known. They're cheering us onward.
That's right. Don't quit.
To a crown that now awaits. And when we grow weak and falter, that's when they
begin to wave.
There's a mother and a father,
yeah,
saying, "Son, don't give up.
Don't
now.
Give up now."
A dear friend who left me, saying, "Brother,
and your ground.
And your ground."
That's right.
I can see.
Yes.
That
they
wait.
right. Playing things. I want you to stand with me, please. Get you some help. Simple message, but I believe God told me to preach this. How to get through it and over it. How to get through it. Be aggressive. Be aggressive in your faith. We all know somebody. We all know several that have quit along the way. I don't want to be a quitter. I know I say this probably every year, but I'd rather for you to hear that I died than for you to hear that I've quit. I mean that. The Lord Jesus doesn't come back before next year in Jubilee. I wonder how many to be missing. Miss him because Jesus came and took you on home, or how be missing because you quit? You can make it. You can make it. Jesus, he's made it. You can make it. Amen. Preach, you come.
Tremendous. My mind went back while he was preaching to when I was young. I played football, mostly in the cow pasture. I did play on the football field some. But I was thinking about the troop. And I'm going to get a hold of that football. An opposing team, that was a troop that we had to run through. And I wanted to run through them because there was a line on the other end of the field. And what do we call that? The goal line. And I got to thinking, what is that space just on the other side of the goal line?
Yeah.
That's the end zone.
End zone. Amen.
Oh, Lord. We're running in these days. We got a troop ahead, but there's a goal line out there. There's a goal ahead. And one day we're going to cross the line and we'll be in the end zone. The zone where we've run as far as we can run. No more enemies chasing us. Nobody else to run through. I thank God for the messages. I remember Brother Finney preached our camp meeting this year, Brother Tony Finney, and I believe it was he that said when he hears preaching like that, he says it makes him feel like somebody. Something else, he said. It makes him feel like something else. And that's what I feel like after hearing this good preaching. I feel like something else. Something else besides a preacher. After hearing this tremendous preaching, God help us.